so much for what you're doing for missionaries around the world, whether they're alliance or non-alliance, it doesn't matter. If they love Jesus and are out there passionately sharing Christ with people who need to hear, just thank you for supporting them. Thank you for getting on board and financing them and praying for them and sending them those encouraging notes and doing what needs to be done to get access to the gospel where people have little access. Because that's what it's all about. Years ago in college, one of our professors used to frequently say, never get over the cross. I've walked with Christ for over 35 years and I've never gotten over the cross. I came out of kind of a rough background, not real rough, but just doing some stuff I shouldn't have been doing. And God saved me out of that. So do you understand how grateful I am to God? Do you understand how much I am so full of joy that God has given me eternal life in Christ? How can we not tell that to other people? How can we hold it in? And so I just want to share with you some things that have to do with access to the gospel. We had a young lady. Oh, before I go on, I need to share you with this. I brought prayer cards. And so if you want to grab a prayer card, I put them on the round table, the welcome table out in the foyer. Grab a prayer card. And if you want to cut off the left-hand part, I'm totally good with that. Okay? You just keep the good looking side, and you remember to pray for us, because we really do need you to pray for us. It's very, very vital. And I brought a legal notepad like this, and that's out there, and it just says Iverson prayer letter, sign up if you want to get our prayer letter. We do it by email, so write down your email address. We'd love to send it out, and you can keep up to date with what's going on. If you don't have email, find somebody that does, or maybe the church can print you off a copy or something. But we'd love to have you be partnering with us in that regard. Young lady walked into our church a few years ago. We are in a very rural part of the country of Taiwan, and we live in a small town. And I'll share with you about that in a minute. And this young lady walked in, and she was pregnant. And now that's not significant, except for the fact that this lady had a rough upbringing. And she never knew who her mother was. Very distant from her father. Didn't have a close relationship with him. But somebody in her junior high years invited her to a church youth group. And at that youth group, she heard the gospel and she embraced Jesus Christ as her Savior. And I want to say one thing. When I was worshiping with you guys this morning, there were some young people towards the back that were standing on the chairs. I have a problem with that. I'm too big to do that, and I want to do that. I'd break the chair. Keep doing that. Worship God like that. You know, if you have to get on a chair to worship God and see and whatever, do that. And you adults, don't ever tell them to stop doing that. It's a good thing. So this young lady was in youth group and she heard the gospel and she embraced Christ. She grew up a little bit older. She got into some activities that weren't healthy and she ultimately got pregnant out of wedlock. Now, in Taiwan, what you do when you get married, and she did marry the father of her child, what you do is you then move to the father's home. You basically leave your home and move into the husband's home. And so she moved in with her husband. Well, what happened was they moved from the big city where they were living down to his parents' home. And this is, the extended families live together in Taiwan quite frequently. And so she moved into this home in outside of this small town. And she was so incredibly lonely. She had come back to the Lord. She wanted to renew that relationship. She knew what she did was wrong, and now she wants to get right with God, but she's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you think Crossroads is in the middle of nowhere? I don't know what's around here. I didn't pass much coming between the freeway and here, but she's in the middle of nowhere. Doesn't know anybody except her husband and his family, and those relationships aren't always healthy. She didn't know what to do. But every day she would come into our town about 5 miles away, 3-4 miles away, and she would have breakfast and just kind of get out of the house and be in town. And she'd have to take a bus into town every day. She'd come in. Well, one day she came into town and she went past this church. It was called Amazing Grace Church. It's the church that God allowed us to plant in that little town. And she came into our church. And we got to know this young lady named Ingru, several months pregnant at the time. And we were able to embrace her, and we were able to speak into her life, and she's been a vital part of our small church there in Yuanzhang, Taiwan. And she's growing in her relationship with God. And it's so cool, because God moved us Alliance missionaries into that small town in rural Taiwan to start a church, and she has access to the gospel. That's what it's all about. That's what your prayers do. That's what your financial giving does. Those are really cool things. I'd like to throw up some slides, if you would. I got busy talking, and as soon as this PowerPoint comes up here, I want to introduce you to my friend Ingru and her baby, Noah-un. Noah-un is my wife's Taiwanese grandson. He loves my wife, and you got Crossroads. Sorry, X-Roads. X, cross, get it? All right, when you get that up, you holler, because I can't see it. While you're doing that, I want to tell you about my church. My church is in a small town called Yuanjiang, and it's a church called Amazing Grace Church. In Chinese, it's Xi'antan. And we are all about giving people access to the gospel. In the big cities, people have access to the gospel. They really do in Taiwan. There's bookstores and there's seminaries and Bible colleges and churches and you name it. It's there. Not a lot. The temples are huge and there's, you know, multitudinous. But churches are there and witnesses are there. But in the rural Taiwan, very, very rare. So we're all about going into the rural part of Taiwan and giving people access to the gospel. And that's why God moved us into that part of Taiwan and has allowed us to do that. But I want to share with you, it's not just access to the gospel. But it has to be access to the gospel in a contextually appropriate manner. For instance, most of the working class people that we're trying to reach for Christ didn't do well in school. But what do our churches look like in Taiwan? They look like this. What does this look like? Well, it kind of looks like a school. With rows of chairs, like in the school. This is what the school looks like in Taiwan. With people expected to sit there and read books. And Taiwanese working class aren't necessarily really good readers. They just don't function that way. Taiwanese working class are expected to come into a church that looks like this and that reminds them of school and sit there and be quiet and listen to some talking head up in front. It's got a structured program just like school. They take and send the children away to children's church. This is not like the Taiwanese working class. So we want to give them access to the gospel, but in a way that they can comprehend. And so we can't expect them to just come in and adjust themselves to our church. We have to adjust our church to them. Are we having problems with the PowerPoint? Well, never mind that. You won't get to see my friends if you keep working on it, all right? I'll keep prating away here, and you keep working on it. All right, so we're all about giving people access to the gospel, but we want to do it in a way that fits them, not expect them to suddenly change and fit our mold. It's very important if we're going to go and give people access to the gospel in a way that they can comprehend and embrace, then we need to adjust to them. But how about when there is no access to the gospel? My wife and I spent many years in language study, 2 years learning Chinese, then later on another couple of years learning Taiwanese. And one day we were in our Taiwanese class, and my wife was in her Taiwanese class with her teacher, and the teacher asked her a question. Are people lost if they don't know Christ? If they've never heard about Jesus, are people lost? And my wife had to say, yes, I'm sorry to say, according to the scriptures, they are. And then the teachers told her story. Our teacher was an older lady by this time, and she grew up in a very small island off the coast of Taiwan. And when she was growing up, she said there was no gospel witness at all. There was no churches. There was no missionaries. There was no Christians. There was nothing. But one day a missionary lady moved to that island that she lived on and invited the kids from the community to go to her house and listen to Bible stories. And she did. And she kept on going. It's a long story and I can't go into all of it now. But through all of this, she embraced Jesus Christ. And you know what her main point in life, her main purpose in life is now? It's to teach missionaries how to speak Taiwanese so they can give the next generation access to the gospel. How cool is that? But she asked Penny a question. She said, my grandfather was a very good man. When he was growing up on an island, when he lived on our island, it's called Penghu, when he lived there, there was no gospel witness. My grandfather never heard about Jesus Christ, and he died without ever hearing about Jesus Christ. Is he in hell today? And my wife had to say, I'm sorry, but according to the scriptures, yes, he is. That's why people need access to the gospel. Because if they don't have access to the gospel, it doesn't matter where they live. It can be right next door to this church. It can be in Podong, Taiwan, where I live. But if they don't hear the name of Christ and embrace that, they will die and go to hell. That's not what I believe because I say it. It's what I believe because that's what I've come to find out from the scriptures. And if we can't have faith in the Word of God, the Bible, then nothing matters. Nothing makes sense. We tried to do a church plant in our part of Taiwan. And we had people from three communities, missionaries from three communities working together. And I love the part in the Bible about Paul and Barnabas. You know, they had such a divisive, such an argument that they split. That's what happened to our team. And I can't go into all the particulars today, but let me just say that I was leading that team at the time, and so I bear the bulk of the blame. I'll just man up and say that. But our team split. And so when we were trying to do one church plant, you know, church plant splits aren't always bad, because now instead of one church plant, we have three. We don't just have one church giving access to the gospel in that part of Taiwan. We have three. And God is blessing those works, all three of them. And it's so cool to see that. I want to tell you about Tika. Tika is a friend of ours that we met up in the mountains of Taiwan. My wife and I took a friend of ours who happened to be visiting Taiwan, and we went up to drink tea at this tea shop in the mountains, and as I was waiting for my friend to come out of the bathroom, there was a young lady working there in the restaurant tea shop, and I struck up a conversation with her and discovered she was from Indonesia. I said, wait. My friend came out of the bathroom. I said, hey, Rob, come here. You got to meet this guy, this young lady. So I called Rob over, introduced him. Rob grew up in Indonesia, speaks great Indonesian. They had a conversation. Later, Rob was telling me what their conversation was all about. This young lady, Tika, she was brought to Taiwan under a 3-year contract to work for the owner of the restaurant, taking care of his aged mother. Instead, the owner of the restaurant got her into Taiwan, put her to work in a restaurant. Wasn't feeding her, wasn't paying her. She had to eat table scraps to survive. Before we left the restaurant that day, and I didn't know this story then, I didn't hear till later, but before we left the restaurant that day, I gave her my business card. I said, I live a long way away from you. I live about 45 minutes away from you. I don't know what I can ever do for you, but if you ever need help, give me a call. About 3 months later, we got a call from Tika. She had been taken to the airport against her will, was going to be sent back to Indonesia where she didn't have anything. She didn't have a job. She had no reason to go back. They were forcing her to go back. She didn't want to go back, so she never got on the plane. They had given her some of her back pay. They had given her a ticket to Indonesia, but she never got on the plane. Instead, she called me. And I got this really weird phone call from a taxi driver early in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. I'm barely awake, and the phone rings, and it says, you have an Indonesian coming to work for you. And I'm like, what? No, I don't. And he hung up and called back 2 or 3 times. And finally, we got it figured out. Tika was brought down to our house. I called somebody else that understood her situation and the immigration laws in Taiwan and the working laws in Taiwan. And he said, you have to get rid of her. She's illegal. If you have anything to do with her, you could be in trouble. So I said, okay, Tika, I'm going to put you on our high-speed train, and you're going to go up north by the airport. This missionary will take care of you and get you on the plane. And she didn't want to go, but she said, okay, I guess I have to do that. I loaded her on the back of my motor scooter, and we headed out of town. We got to the intersection in my town. I take a right and I go down to the high-speed train station. I said, wait, to myself. I just said, wait. Before she goes, I want to take her to my friend's house, who is an Indonesian Christian, lives in our town. Now she's coming to our church. So I didn't take a right and go to the train station. I took a left. And I went to my friend's house. And I said, hey, Sally, I want you to meet Tika. And I introduced him. And Sally just rallied around Tika. Sally is a precious Christian, loves Jesus, has gone through so much hard stuff in her life, you would not believe it. But she loves Jesus. We called another friend of ours, another Indonesian Christian that lives in our town. She came over. The two of them ministered to Tika. Long story short, Tika didn't have to leave Taiwan. It wasn't her that was illegal. It was her boss that was illegal. And the authorities were going to take care of him and deal with him. But they found a place for Tika to stay in Taiwan, a safe house. But said, we don't have room in that safe house for about 5 days or a week. Can you put her up someplace? And so my Indonesian friend said, yeah, she can stay at my house. She stayed in our town at my friend's house for about a week. They gave her food. They gave her clothing. They gave her whatever she needed. They gave her the love that she needed. They gave her the support that she needed. Long story short, Tika came to know Jesus Christ because she had access to the gospel. That's what you do. That's what you do when you pray. That's what you do when you give. That's what you do when you encourage us, when we don't feel like going on. I've spent 2 terms in this rural part of Taiwan. About the last 6 months of both terms, I was just wasted. I was burned out. I just had no more to give. But God came through. I want to tell you about a team that didn't listen to me. There is, If you can't get the PowerPoint, I'm going to see if you can get that video working. Work in the Hong Kong youth camp. I'm not ready for it yet, but I will be in a minute. I want to tell you about a short-term team that we have had come to our church on several occasions, and they come into our community from a church, an Alliance church across the island, and about a four-hour drive away, and they come and they'll do a week-long camp or a four-day-long camp or a weekend ministry at our church. They came there last June. First weekend of this past June, 7 months ago. And the pastor called me up a couple of weeks. He said, you know, we're coming in 2 weeks, but I'm going to come a week early just for a day, and I want you to show me around your community, and I want you to just show me where you've been doing ministry, where you'd like our team to do some ministry. So I took him out, and I showed him Wild Swan, and I showed him, Wild Village, and I showed him Kutsuo Village, and I showed him some other villages in the eastern part of our township. And I said, now this is what we've got going on. This is the people we know. This is where we think, you know, our next step might be. And so a week later, he brought his team. And they did not go to the eastern part of our township. They went to the western part of our township. He blew me off. Can you believe that? He went into this little village called Tanshi Village. I know nobody in Tanshi Village. But they went over there and they just walked the streets, and as they had opportunity, they talked to people and they would share with people and they shared Christ with people. Because that team, that pastor, listened to God and not to me. Now we have contacts in Tanshi Village, a very, very poor village. We have two guys that I'm able to go and sit in their homes and drink tea with them or whatever, and just talk with them and share with them and speak into their lives. And they don't know Christ yet, but one of them, when we left Taiwan last July, one of them was coming out fairly consistently to our church. And if he had not had access to the gospel, he would never have come to church. I want to tell you about Eric. Eric is a friend of mine. I've known him since third grade. He's now a high school senior. One day he was at my house. He was in sixth grade, and we were sitting around in my living room talking, and suddenly Eric's kind of frenetic. You know, he just probably would be diagnosed as ADD if he was in America, because he sort of flits from topic to topic and doesn't land on anyone too long. And we're sitting in our living room talking, and he suddenly leans over, and there's my big, bold Chinese Bible sitting on the table next to him, and he reaches over, and he picks it up, and he holds it up, and he says, I want to become this. And he puts it back down and he goes on to the next topic. And I never had a chance to follow up. Years went by, kind of faded from our life, and he got busy with his stuff. And about 6 months, about a year ago now, a little over a year ago now, Eric started coming to our church and to our youth group with regularity. And we kind of picked up the pieces, and we found that somewhere along the way, Eric had embraced Jesus Christ as his Savior. In sixth grade, he picked up my Bible, said, I want to become this. And somewhere along the way, he had become that. When that same team that I just shared about came last June, Eric came to the service where they were sharing, and we broke up into small groups, and I said, here's some questions I want you to discuss in your small groups, just icebreaker kind of a thing. And I said, question one, when you were in elementary school, who was other than your parents, who was your favorite adult? Just talk about that as an icebreaker in your small group before anybody could say anything, before they could even break up into small groups. I asked that question, who is your favorite adult? And Eric shouted out above the crowd of people, that would be you, Tim. And he rushed through the crowd, made his way through the crowd, and gave me a big hug. Because years ago, God moved in the heart of some Christian and Missionary Alliance, Alliance missionaries to leave the city and move to the country so that those people in that remote area could have access to the gospel. I had no idea I had that much of a role in Eric's life. Our contacts had been so tenuous and so infrequent throughout the years. But that's what I meant to Eric. Did you get the video going? We're without media today. It's a great video. Anybody of you know the name John Bechtel? Great missionary to Hong Kong years ago. It's an amazing video about how God provided a Bible camp for them and how the miraculous way that God provided a Bible camp for them in Hong Kong to reach the youth of Hong Kong and give the youth of Hong Kong access to the gospel. And that's what you are all about. when you give, and when you pray, and when you encourage, and yeah, when you go. That's what it's all about. Now, you've got how many people going to Cambodia in a few months?
Eight.
And you're doing some fundraising. I want you guys to get on board with that, okay? Pastor didn't tell me to say this. But this is a cool opportunity. If Pastor would have told me to say this, he'd have told me to say it much better than I'm going to say it. That is such a cool opportunity for those eight people to go and help impact an area in Cambodia and a ministry or ministries in Cambodia and give people access to the gospel. So now, the rest of you in this room that aren't among the eight, what are you going to do? I want you to rally around them. Okay, I see you're doing some fundraising. You're doing a silent auction. Go out there and bid generously on those items. Never mind you don't need them. That's beside the point. You'll find some thrift store to give it to, all right? And then there'll be a double blessing. When they're doing other things for fundraising, I want you to rally around and I want you to give generously. And when they're asking for your prayer support, I want you to bathe them in prayer. So that when they go, they will be getting access to the gospel to many people that otherwise may not have the chance to hear about Christ. And you that stay back here and do that, you'll be just as much a part of it. Just as much a part of it. I've got a friend that most people wouldn't like. In fact, most people didn't like him. He worked at the sewer plant. And he would work every other weekend. And so on the weekends when he would work, he would take an hour out of his morning, Sunday morning, to come up to our Alliance Church and attend the service and then go back to work. And he would work an hour later in that day. So the city was getting their 8 hours work out of him. But when you leave the sewer plant to come into church, you probably don't smell like all the other nice church-going people that are there on Sunday morning. But this friend was so impactful in my life that before I was a Christian, my parents had been saved a couple of years, and he was friends with them, knew them. I built this relationship with him. We did a lot of stuff together. He was kind of a crusty old guy, but you know, I kind of like that type. And so we spent a lot of time together doing a lot of stuff, and he has such a heart for God. And he would speak into my life, and I would ask him any question imaginable, and he would say, well, the Bible says, or what does it say in the Bible? He would always go back to the Word of God, not just some wisdom that he thought up, but he would always go back to the Word. That made such an impact on me. And you know, then years later, a few years later, I get saved, and I grow in my faith, and I go off to a Christian college, and eventually I go off to Taiwan, and now I'm having the privilege of leading people to Christ in Taiwan. And my friend is just as much a part of that. And you are going to be just as much a part of that short-term team going by what you're doing behind the scenes and back here as they are in going. And I want you to rally around. Now, Penny, you're giving me that look that says we could do something.
It's on the t-shirt,
nope. I want the Hong Kong. Same disc. Well, guess what? They're just going to have to live without it. Go on YouTube. Maybe it's on YouTube. The Alliance put together this disc, and it's got a couple of good stories by John Bechtel. And I'm trying to get out of this on time here, you know. See, we're out of time. That's what I'm trying to just politely say. No, we're out of time. My time is up. That's okay. That's okay. Can you go 6 minutes? Are you sure? Okay, I'm the one that has to catch an airplane today to fly to Florida. All right. Are you sure? Okay. All right, I want you to play this video.
Communism came into China in 1949. The church was shut down. Christians were shot, re-educated, sent to the country. It was all over for Christianity. The bamboo curtain was impenetrable.
This is a good story. I mean,
the only way you could go was in.
That's all you got.
Couldn't come back out. And none of the people would come out and tell us anything. Many times in the rivers and that came down in the Pearl River into Hong Kong, bodies would come floating with their hands tied behind their back and their heads cut off. Terrible things happened in China, but we never knew what was going on. I thought, you know, maybe the communists are right. Maybe they have wiped out Christianity. Finally, the bamboo curtain opened. And all the Christian Missionary Alliance missionaries who had been there, myself included, couldn't wait to see what was going on. I walked down the streets of Guilin, and I saw this one woman coming down the street. Everybody wore blue and gray, but her blue looked bluer and better pressed than anybody else's. So I went up to her, knowing full well you can't buy perfume in China, and I said to her in Cantonese, "Where can I buy some perfume?" Oh, she took a deep snort. Oh, if I could just smell some perfume again. I haven't smelled it for 30 years. "You can't buy perfume in communist China? What's the matter with you?" I said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll introduce me to a Christian, I don't care how old the Christian is, I will give you all the perfume that my wife has up in her room." Hoping to goodness that my wife had some perfume. The woman said, "I know a Christian. Come to the corner of this and that street at 10 o'clock tonight when all the lights are out, and I'll introduce you to her." That night, my wife and I went down the streets of Guilin, which were dark. We came to the corner, and here she was. "Follow me." We followed her. We went down to this place, up the back stairs, down the hall, into this little room with a little candle burning. And we're sitting there on a wooden bed, waiting to meet this Christian. And I said, "What is this Christian lady's story?" She said, "Oh, it's a terrible story." She said, "This poor young girl at 32 years of age was put on trial after her mother and father, very wealthy people, were killed. And she was asked by the judge, with all of us sitting there, she was naked. She had a dunce cap on her head, which was how they did things in those days. And she was asked the question, 'Will you follow Jesus? If you say you will not and you deny him, I'll let you go right now. You'll be a free woman.'" And all of us, there were about 5,000 of us in the stadium, were thinking, "Please, please, just say you don't believe in Jesus for 1 minute. And then ask Jesus to forgive you. That's all you got to do and you're free." And this young woman you're going to meet in a minute said, "I will follow Jesus till the end of my life. I cannot deny him. I'm sorry." We all braced ourselves for what the judge would say. And sure enough, the judge got angry and said, "You will clean a sewer for the rest of your life." In China, the sewers are open. And you have to take a rake and just keep them moving. And that was her job. But this woman told us she's been doing this for 30 years. And her father owned this house, but she lived in a little room downstairs, which we let her live in. And I hear the patter, patter, patter up the stairs. And I hear quick steps down the hall. The door bursts open. And here's this little woman, 60-some years old, a smile as big as the world on her face. And she looked at us and she said, "Which one of you is a Christian?" And I said, "I am." She said, "I'd like a Bible. It's the only thing you can't have in China." So I said, "Well, if there's one in this town, I'll have it to you in the morning." I went back to the hotel. This was about midnight. I went in, and there was a Hong Kong Chinese pastor checking into our hotel. I walked over, and I said, "Hi, Ronald, how are you?" Ronald said, "Don't talk to me. I don't want anybody to know you know me." I said, "Ronald, I want to talk to you till you give me a Chinese Bible." He said, "I have six of them." I said, "Well, that's easy. Just give me one." He said, "I can't." The customs officer got very angry and wrote in big letters in my Bible, "When this man leaves China, he has to have six Bibles. So I have to give him when I leave." I said, "Let me have him overnight." He gave me the six Bibles. I took them upstairs to my wife. And between the two of us, we cut Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John out of one Bible. And we went through the Old and New Testament, and we cut one full Bible out of those six Bibles. Next morning, I gave the six Bibles back to Ronald. My wife had made a cover with a T-shirt for the one Bible that we had cut out. We took it over to the woman with all the clothes we didn't need, about 4 years of salary to give to her. We burst into her room where she was sitting on her bed praying. We gave her the clothes, beautiful clothes, my best clothes. She said, "Put them over there." almost like she was angry. So then I reached in my pocket and I took out the equivalent of 4 years' salary of her money. And I said, here's some money to help you. Just put it in the drawer. I was getting discouraged. Then I took out the T-shirt covered, cut up copy of God's Word. She lit up. She grabbed the Bible, took it to her breast, and said, oh boy, precious, precious. You will never understand until you've been through what I've been through. Those things over there, those clothes and material things, they mean nothing. The money in that drawer over there, nothing. It's all right here in God's Word. You have given me the greatest gift you could give me.
Giving people access to the gospel is what it's all about. That's what we're all in partnership for. So I want you to rally around. I want you to support these 8 people going to Cambodia. I want you to continue the job that you're doing of supporting missions around the world and giving people chances to experience, to hold God's word. Maybe they've never held it before in their life. Maybe they've never held it for years because of persecution, but giving them that chance to hear it, to hold it, to embrace it.